I think that's another thing about New York. There's something, at least for me, when you walk around and once an event has happened there for you, it's just, it's permanently there. And like, you can't go back to that bodega where you broke up with someone without, you know, not remembering that. And that's so much of New York. You could make a map of all your memories. And I feel that there more than anywhere else that I've been to or visited, or even like my hometown. I'm like, I don't feel this way in all of these places where I grew up.
Welcome back to NYC Local Guides. I am your host, Jennifer O'Brien, and I interview New Yorkers from creatives to CEOs and everyone in between. For more NYC resources like ebooks and videos, visit nyclocalguides.com. If you've ever wondered what it takes to be a New Yorker or just want to hear some crazy stories, keep listening.
This is a Brooklyn-bound 2 express train. The next stop is
Mary McCarthy, known as Not Engaged on Instagram. She went viral because she kept sharing photos of her left hand. Actually was born in Queens and grew up in this area. She is an actor and writer here in New York. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about New York.
Yay. I'm so glad. And New York City is in a lot of your photos, correct?
It's in a lot of my photos, yes. I've run out of places to take pictures of in my apartment, so it's good for me to get out and take pictures all over the city because that's where I am most of the time.
I am also hashtag not engaged. So for other people who might not know, can you tell us a little bit more about why you started Not Engaged?
For sure. So I had been a bridesmaid in a million weddings. And after one of my friend's engagement parties out in the Hamptons, I was coming home and I stopped to get tacos. And I texted a picture of my hand to my friends. When you're not engaged, but you have tacos, like that was it. And then the idea sparked from there. And I created the Instagram account after that, literally as a joke between like my friends and I. And then it started snowballing into this following and became this community of other women who are single and online. And went from an inside joke to what it is now, which is incredible.
I love that. And what year did you share that?
That was towards the end of 2016.
Yeah.
And so 2017, it was still very small. But even at the end of 2017, it became this following that I did not expect.
Yeah.
And then sometime in 2018, it just blew up. Mostly, I think it was after The Skim posted about it, which is a fun newsletter that I love following.
Yeah, that's so wonderful. I'm so glad to hear it. And then you've been featured in all these amazing things, and you probably also saw the New York Times article about not being married.
I certainly did.
Yes. What are your thoughts on this large trend of women, you know, encouraging other women to take longer to not get married or to not get married at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I think for so long, and I mean, there still is this pressure on these timelines of, you know, you go to school, you get out, you find a husband, get married. And we've made so much progress, but there's still that pressure there. And you feel it even when your friends around you are getting married and everything. So I think just encouraging women to take that pressure off themselves and to enjoy their time being single, because my account is not like hating marriage in any way, but it's something to embrace that time when you are quote alone, and using it to your advantage, because there are highs and lows if you're married or if you're single. And so enjoy that time.
I love that so much. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that encouragement, and you're constantly empowering other women to just embrace it. Like you're saying, like cleaning the bathroom, you know, you're just still not engaged.
Yeah. That's just it, because there are definitely some very fun photos of me traveling and doing things, but there are also photos of me, like you said, cleaning my tub.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing if you're married. There are times when you're married and you're celebrating so many momentous occasions, and then there are times where you are going to be home with your husband or wife or whoever. So, you know, that's going to happen no matter what your relationship status. So just relax, enjoy it. It's supposed to be a silly satire. Everyone, just don't worry.
I love that so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
And then be honest, how often do you get proposed to?
Oh my gosh. usually a lot.
Like daily?
So especially when another article comes out, I get a good amount of proposals. Like when it first started going around, like after the skim, I get a bunch of proposals. Or guys who are just like, hey, what's up? I'm like, no. This is not, that will not work. This is not a dating. This is not a cry for help. And I think after it was in my like hometown newspaper, and after that one, I was surprised that I saw the most amount of proposals or like, hey, babe, what's going on? And it's like, do you see this as a challenge? Like, what? So, yeah, I have gotten, but actually more messages from women who sort of feel the same, or like, oh, my gosh, like, thank you. I'm scrolling through my feed and there's all these photos of engagements or weddings or, you know, just relationship milestone things, which is wonderful, but it's a break from that.
I love that. Yeah. No, that is so true. I feel like scrolling through, there's a lot of things that can make people question, oh, where am I in life?
Absolutely. You feel so behind, and chances are you're just as at pace with them or ahead. I don't want to say ahead. Everyone is doing fine.
Yes.
Everyone is doing great. Don't compare yourself to a highlight reel that people are editing and posting on social media.
Absolutely.
Which is also why I post pictures of me cleaning my tub, because yes, we're all doing that. We are all cleaning our bathrooms. Hopefully.
I love it. So what is the future of Not Engaged? And what if you do meet someone? And what if you do get engaged?
Man, you know, I get this question a bunch. And my reassuring answer is usually that's not happening anytime soon. I think that if my relationship status changed in terms of like me dating someone, I certainly wouldn't stop the account. Like, if anything, I would just be changing my jokes a little bit of including a boyfriend in the picture. But I don't know. I get asked this all the time, and I have different ideas, but I haven't solidified on one of them. I think I would definitely keep an account going of empowerment and encouragement, because there's still going to be independence, right? Even if in a marriage, you still need to be independent in so many ways. You still need to find your own voice and your own path and all of these different things. So Bill, I won't be going away.
I love that.
I hope.
I'm so glad. Yeah. I don't see it. No, I think the world needs this.
For
we
sure.
need more of this.
Great.
Yes. Could you have started it in any other city than New York?
Ooh, that's a great question. I've never been asked that one before. I don't know if I don't know, because, you know, maybe there's something about New York where you do have the opportunity to explore these different avenues. And I don't want to say that you can't in other cities. I haven't had the opportunity to live anywhere else. But, you know, there is this pulse to New York where there's this energy of whether you're matched up or you're single, you have all of these opportunities open to you. And I think that, yeah, maybe there is that sort of energy that's behind the account. Yeah.
Yeah. So you have lived in New York City proper for about 9 years of your adult life.
Of my adult life.
Yes.
Yes. As a Carrie Bradshaw, like, woman getting brunch. Yes.
I love it. Oh, my gosh. And before that, you were in Long Island, so not far at all.
Not far. No. Nope.
Yes. Do you consider yourself a New Yorker?
Yes, of course I do.
Good. I'm so glad.
My favorite thing is when, you know, people ask like, oh, so you're a New Yorker, you've been here your whole life. I'm like, oh, yeah. And they're like, oh, so where did you grow up? I'm like, well, I grew up on Long Island. And they're like, oh, so that's not really a New Yorker. I'm like, you're from Ohio and you've been here for 3 years.
Yes.
And also I live here like proper now. So everyone, let's all relax.
I completely understand. I come from Jersey and people give me all sorts of things.
And you're here now.
I was born in Manhattan and then went to Jersey and then I came back. It's not far, 10 miles. It's like people overthink it.
They definitely overthink it.
Yeah.
I think that if you are living in New York, you know how to give directions, even slightly, even if it's slightly wrong, but you feel confident enough to give directions,
Yes. You
are a New Yorker.
So true. Oh my gosh, I love that so much. Do you think it's a good city for creatives? You're a writer and an actor. What is your thought on that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the thing that I love about New York is that there's not only creatives here, but there are scientists and engineers and people who run museums and people who like are florists. Like there's it's just filled. It's the center of finance and fashion and all of these things. And that makes creatives only so much more creative because they're surrounded by all of these different ideas and everything. And I feel like other places, if it's only one sort of mindset, that's going to lock you into a very specific sort of picture. Whereas New York, you have, it's literally the center of so many different industries that you get to meet so many different people and learn about all of these different perspectives. And those things are just going to naturally infuse your creativity. So I think it's so important for creatives to at least visit New York, at least come here for a little bit. Yeah.
What is a piece of advice you would give someone who's looking to start a creative career here in New York?
I would say get out, walk around the city, try to meet people that are outside of your creative circle. You know, I think it can be very overwhelming at first, and I'll speak at least from the acting perspective, because there are so many opportunities here, right? And if you're an actor, you can audition for Shakespeare and improv and all of these different avenues, and pick one and just go with it and see what happens, and just concentrate on one field, and you're going to naturally get redirected to where you're supposed to be. But I think that, yeah, sticking with one thing for a little bit, but still learning about all of the other creative fields around you. Because New York can be, with so many opportunities, it can feel very overwhelming. And I feel like that's how I felt at first, right? There's like so many things I can go after that you kind of get lost in the shuffle.
That's really good advice. And then what is your advice for someone who's moving here? Any apartment advice, things like that?
Great question. I would say if you know someone who's in New York, reach out to them. Reach out to them before you book an apartment, just so you know the neighborhood, and like just the train lines and what's the most efficient way to get around. Because even neighborhood to neighborhood, there are just so many differences, like block to block. So yeah, reaching out if you know somebody. If not, do a lot of research, just because every neighborhood has such a different vibe to it that you don't. You might not know where you want to be. If you want something that's a little bit more neighborhoody, something that has clubs going on all night, whatever you want, try and do as much research as possible and hopefully see the apartment before you before you accept it.
Yes, you have to.
You have to. I know I've heard like, stories of people who never saw the apartment and, you know, booked it, and some of them have worked out and some of them have not. Yeah, but there are landlords that work out really well, but there are landlords that definitely don't. So yeah. Do if you can, I know it's tough, but if you can come here, do a quick trip, see the apartment in person.
Yes, I completely agree. Definitely. Because there's so many ways that they try and like make an apartment look better. That's just really hard.
Yeah.
Do you have any apartment like horror stories?
You know, I've lived in Astoria the entire time I've been an adult woman living on my own. And my first apartment was this very like scrappy apartment, me and my two best friends from college. And there were no windows and it was like a semi-basement, but it was fine. We all loved it. And then the year lease was up and the landlord was like, okay, girls, no, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We're going to go month to month. And so we were 22. We were like, okay. And so many people we know were like, oh yeah, we do month to month. It's fine. And about 2 weeks later, we got a text from our original realtor saying, hey, do you guys need help finding a new place? And we, of course, had no idea what he was talking about. And it turns out that they sold the building. And then the landlord called us and was like, you have 2 weeks to get out. Course, now, as an older woman, I would immediately like, you know, fight that back and say, you need to give us X amount of days written notice and yada, yada. But of course, as 22-year-olds in the city on our own, we like panicked. Somehow we did find a place in 2 weeks and we moved and we wound up living there for like about 6 years. So it worked out. But yeah, the other thing I'll say if you're moving here is like advocate for yourself. Learn the housing laws and advocate for yourself, because so many of those laws are on your side. And if someone's being sketchy or weird, just fight back, push back, be a New Yorker.
Yes, I love that so much.
Yeah.
And you say like be a New Yorker. So like what are your stereotypes of like good things and bad things of being a New Yorker?
Okay. So I will say that there are so many stereotypes of New Yorkers that are mean or rushing, but New Yorkers are so kind and giving and will, you know, drop everything to help you find where you need to go. Like, we'll pull out maps on our phone to make sure you get the right subway line. And I will say that, you know, my friend has lost her phone maybe 7 times over the past like year. She loses her phone all the time.
How does she do that?
I don't know, but she has gotten it back every single time. So that's wow. Truly New York. And I think people who think that, you know, we're so rushing, but I would say, like, if you're from anywhere else, and I park my car in front of your driveway and you need to get to work, that's the equivalent of you standing in the middle of the sidewalk and me rushing past you. It's nothing personal. I just have to get to work. And I remember my first like few years in the city, and I was like doing all of these side jobs. I was nannying and I was doing tutoring. And on Saturday mornings, when I had all of these different gigs lined up, I had like a tight schedule, and I had to get from the Upper West Side to the Upper East Side and then down to Gramercy. And those trains had to work for me. And there was one time that a woman like cut in front of me, and I missed the train, and it completely threw off my day, into the fact that I missed one of my gigs. And I was like, that was half my paycheck for today. Like, that's a big deal. So give New Yorkers like a little break. Some of them really need to catch a train. But I think that's more where it comes from. It's just this hustle. We're all getting to work. This is just part of our daily routine. And think about when you're driving to work from wherever you're from, if someone was to cut in front of you and just park in the middle of a one-lane highway.
That is such a good analogy. Yeah, I love that so much.
That's kind of what it's like. And it's not, you know, we're just trying to not get yelled at by our bosses.
I agree. 100%. Yeah. I love that so much. Do you have any experience when you were living here that sort of crystallized that moment of, okay, I officially feel like a New Yorker?
Ooh.
Could be bad, could be good.
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like I have those moments all the time. I'm trying to think of my like first one. There are definitely, you know, so many moments when I first moved here. I think especially, I remember one moment in my first year really living here, and I was walking down 6th Avenue, and I made this turn, and all of a sudden I just saw like the Freedom Tower, and I saw all of these buildings, and it just sort of hit me that like I was like officially living here, like, you know, among all of the New Yorkers in the city. And I really felt like a part of it, because it was just like that hour right when like the sun is setting, and there's just this moment, especially when you see the skyline like that, that it just sort of hits you. And I feel like those are sort of my favorite streets too, when you expect not to see this like view or skyline out of the city, and you're like, I'm on the ground in amidst all of these buildings. Why can I see all of this? But the city's set up in a way that kind of catches you off guard. And I feel like those moments are really magical. Yeah.
That is so beautiful. Yeah. I love that. Okay, are you ready for the lightning round?
I think so. I hope that my suggestions or my ideas are good.
I'm sure they will be wonderful.
All right, good.
Okay, putting you on the spot.
Okay, here we go.
Favorite pizza place?
Oh, gosh. Okay. All right. Let me think. So I think Joe's, for like a really classic slice pizza, is really good. I also love Polly G's in Greenpoint.
Yes.
That is very... I remember going there with my dad, and we were walking around before a show we were seeing, and we didn't look it up on the apps or anything, and we're just walking by, and my dad just saw the storefront, and he's like, that's a good slice of pizza, I can tell, like not knowing anything about it, and it was delicious. I think if you want like a personal pizza, I'll advocate for Basil in Astoria. Ooh. That is so good.
Is it a thin crust? Like,
it's a thin crust. It's like a, you know, a personal 12-inch pizza, right?
Sounds right.
I don't know what measurements are.
I know, right?
But that's delicious. So, so good. Yeah.
Wow. I love it. I love that you had multiple prepared and like thought. you, like, as New Yorkers.
Pizza's important.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like part of our DNA.
Yes.
We need to have a place for every type of pizza.
Absolutely.
I'm so glad. Do you have a favorite dessert spot?
Ooh. Yes. All right. Let me think. So in Red Hook, yes, Red Hook, Steve's Authentic Key Lime Pie.
Ooh.
Have you been there?
I think I've heard of it, and I still haven't been.
It's like, my friend took me there, And there is this like little wooden sign that just says pi, like 400 feet. I'm like, where are you taking me? And we got these like chocolate covered key lime pies on a stick. That was delicious. So that's like a special little treat. And yeah, in my dreams, if I ever do get married, I want Magnolia, the banana pudding as like my entire cake. Like it doesn't need to be a cake. It just needs to be a vat of Magnolia pudding.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's such a smart idea.
Magnolia, if you're listening.
Yes. Hashtag sponsor.
Hashtag sponsor, hopefully.
Oh my gosh, I love that. The most expensive thing you've ever eaten.
Ooh. The most expensive thing I've ever eaten. Is it, maybe it's Sushi of Gari? Maybe. Yeah. I'm trying to think of if I've been to like one of those really fancy restaurants, but have I ever paid for one of them? maybe Sushi of Gari, like one of those like really fancy sushi platters. Awesome. That's good.
Awesome. And then least expensive meal.
It's got to be a dollar slice. It's got to be like Three Bros pizza.
Okay. Yes, Two Bros. Yes.
Two Bros? Yeah.
There's only two of them.
I think there's a knockoff Three Bros somewhere.
Oh, that definitely exists.
That's probably what I've asked.
That's hilarious. Favorite hidden gem?
Ooh. Let me think. You know what I really... Okay, so this is super nerdy, but I really like it. So where the ticker tape parade route goes... On the sidewalks are these little granite slabs for every single ticker tape that's ever occurred in New York.
Really?
which is kind of cool. And so there's ones that, you know, we all know about.
So what is that also for people who don't know?
The ticker tape parade?
Yeah.
It's a parade of like celebration. I don't know what level you have to be at to warrant a ticker tape parade. I don't know if like the mayor decrees it. Oh. I don't know. Like there was one for like the moon landing. We brought, you know, those folks and the women's soccer team. There was a ticker tape parade for them. Usually if someone wins like the World Series, things like that. So there's little granite slabs for all of the ticker tape parades. And there's ones that like are very famous, like the moon landing. But then there's other ones that are like from so long ago. It's like the King of Spain was in New York. And like those kind of things are just, I kind of love the imprint of those events and that history is literally imprinted in New York on the sidewalks forever. And people are just walking over it. And if you look down, it's there. And there's also around Library Way.
Yes.
Little quotes too. And I love that those just things are hidden in New York. Yes. So I like pointing those things out to people.
Oh, I love that. So that's near like Grand Central area. But then where's the ticker tape one?
It's down near FIDE.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's such a good one that I feel like not a lot of people know about.
No. I didn't even know. I was walking and I'm like, what are these words written on the ground? And I had to look it up. Yeah. It was.
Oh my gosh.
It's a cute little thing.
And then there's another one on like Union Square that's like the history of New York if you've ever looked down.
Oh, yes.
Those like metal plaques. Like I love stuff like that that a lot of people don't see.
Yeah, I love that there's so much hidden art just all around the city.
Yes.
I love that.
Absolutely. I'm working on a tour of hidden art, so it's funny that you say that.
Yes. You should.
There's so much of it.
There's so much.
It's so cool. Okay. So, favorite Broadway show? It's currently open, hopefully.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because otherwise it would be really hard to narrow that down. You know what? Oklahoma was so good. The recent Oklahoma that was just on Broadway. Fantastic. Ugh. I loved that one.
I didn't get to see that one.
It was so, so, so good. Because they just completely reinvented Oklahoma while still sticking to the original script. Wow. Which I thought was incredible. I just sat there awestruck. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh my gosh. And best place for a walk?
Best place for a walk. Oh man. Aside from literally any park.
Yes.
aside from all the parks, I really love walking down like 6th Avenue, especially through Chelsea, through all like and going downtown because of the view, because of like just the vibe around there. And I think especially because I had to do so many gigs around that area and I would have to hustle. So I feel like just emotionally, there are like memories imprinted on different corners and things. And I feel like, at least for me, walking down that area is special. That's special wonderful. In a way. Yeah. Aww. I think that's another thing about New York. There's something, at least for me, when you walk around and once an event has happened there for you, it's just, it's permanently there. And like, you can't go back to that bodega where you broke up with someone without, you know, not remembering that. And so, and that's so much of New York. You could make a map of all your memories. And I feel that there more than anywhere else that I've been to or visited, or even like my hometown. I'm like, I don't feel this way in all of these places where I grew up, you know?
That is so cool. I love that so much. Oh, that was such a, that quote's going in the beginning. Anyway, ooh. Maybe. Yeah, I know, right? That was so good. And then do you have a favorite park?
I'll say Central Park only because like the genius that is behind the making of it. Olmsted, who made it, just believed so much in having a public green space for every class, which at the time of making it was unheard of. There had only been like one public park in England at the time, and he wanted to bring that here. And it was this massive undertaking. And there's also like, there's three major thoroughfares through the park that are basically invisible. Just everything that went into it was so smart and so genius. And it's also just this incredible oasis in the middle of these buildings, and sitting on the lawn and seeing all of these like old architecture, I just think that's lovely. I don't think there's another park that beats it, although we do have great parks all around.
Agreed. Yeah, there's so many great parks, and I love Bethesda Fountain, and there's just so many spots within Central Park,
and a lot of hidden art there too.
Yes, so true.
Yeah,
amazing statues, amazing pieces everywhere.
Yeah.
So do you have a favorite building in the skyline?
Oh, how do I pick? I love, it's probably between the Chrysler Building and the Empire State Building, just from like the Art
Deco-ness
of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Classic New York.
Classic New York.
Yes. And classic Carrie Bradshaw. It's like in
classic
the
scene. Classic Carrie Bradshaw. Yes.
Love it. So do you have a favorite bridge?
Ooh. Let me see. Okay, so I'm going to say something probably unexpected. I like the, everyone says it differently. I think the proper pronunciation is the Kosciuszko Bridge, even though New Yorkers are like the Kosciuszko Bridge.
Yes, that's how I hear it.
Yeah, yeah, everyone says Kosciuszko, but I'm pretty sure the actual pronunciation is Kosciuszko. And I thought of it because the other day I was coming home in a cab back to Astoria, and at night it's like lit up in all these colors and you have this amazing view of the skyline. So that bridge is kind of special. Like when it's like so late, you're in a car, you're going past and it's all lit up. I think that's a pretty cool sight.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that connects which areas?
It connects technically Brooklyn and Queens. I think it goes over the what's the Newtown Creek.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
And then I also love, what's the quote? It's Fitzgerald. Let me see if I can find it.
It's funny that you say that because I just learned what that creek's name was for the tour guiding test. Yes. I was like, I actually know that is the name.
Right. Yeah. And then I also love the quote from Fitzgerald where he talks about the Queensboro Bridge is the way to see the city for the first time. And he says, in its first wild promise of all the mystery and beauty in the world. And it's so true, especially if you land in LaGuardia and you're coming over the Queensboro Bridge. Man, that's a great view of the city.
I love that. That's like one of my favorite quotes too.
It's such a good quote. One.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite dive bar?
Oh, I have to pick one?
Yes.
oh no. Do I have a favorite dive bar?
A lot of people also don't want to share because they're like, I have this spot.
That's the thing. Yeah. And I feel like especially too, I don't know if I have a local like go-to dive bar. I feel like if I'm with my friends, we're like, where's the closest dive bar? Because especially you want to dive sometimes, right? Like you want like a straight up, I just want to grab a beer. I don't want any sort of vibe or club or dancing. I just want this thing. Yeah, I don't know if I have an answer for that.
That's okay.
I'll literally wherever's closest.
Yes, that's so true. Yeah. It's a good point. Do you have a favorite speakeasy?
Ooh. I like bathtub gin.
Yes. Yes. That's a great one. Do you have a favorite free thing to do in New York?
Ooh. I like walking around a park and or walking down one of like the big avenues and looking at the architecture, especially like Fifth Avenue or Park or any of those. Yeah. And I also like going into like fancy stores and just sort of imagining what I'm going to buy one day. Like not buying anything, but it's like, oh, yeah, I'll buy these things at these insane stores that we have here. Yeah. And I always walk around like the ones that are like on the upper part of Fifth Avenue, like right before the park. I'm like, I don't see anyone shopping here. And these things are so expensive. But is this here? What is this here for?
I wonder. I was just there this morning and I was like, they're always empty.
They're always empty. I understand that they're flagship stores, but I'm always like, oh, those are very pretty diamonds, but I'm never going to wear them.
And I think if they have one person in a day, they probably make their quota. So
I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure they're fine. I'm not losing sleep over them.
I agree. Do you have a favorite expensive thing to do?
Probably seeing a show and like a really good dinner.
Yes.
And cocktails and like the works.
Awesome. Yeah. The works. Agreed. Favorite season?
Ooh. It's tied between fall and spring, but I'm going to say spring, especially because we're coming out of winter and I want it so badly to be nice out, especially like the winter breaks and you can go out to the parks again and leave your tiny apartment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Have you ever been scammed or robbed?
No.
In so many years. I'm so glad to hear it. Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. I mean, I think part of it, I'm very street smart, but no, I've not been scammed or robbed. Yeah. If, you know, be careful if you're coming here for the first time, if you're in Times Square, there are definitely some scammers. Just be very conscious of it, but, you know, you'll be fine.
Yes.
It's not like the opening of every Law and Order episode.
That's so true. Yeah. Sadly. Oh my gosh. Crazy that is the stereotype. Yeah.
Yes.
So craziest thing you've ever done in New York?
Oh, I'm really boring. But what's the craziest thing I've ever done? Oh, I did. Whether or not I was drunk or not, confront Questlove outside of Brooklyn Bowl. So, maybe that's the craziest thing I've ever done.
Wait, what exactly?
My friend and I were at Brooklyn Bowl and Questlove was going to perform, and we are old, boring people, and we had to go home because I think we both had work the next morning, and we're like, oh man, we miss Questlove, like we're not going to see him. And as we were coming out, Questlove was going into Brooklyn Bowl and he was by himself, and I was like, hey man, you're coming, we're leaving. And he's like, yeah, that's what's happening.
I love
so
that.
By confront, I mean, I just asked him a question, but to me, that was, you know, insane of me to do. And I'm sure he was like, oh, some drunk girl just stumbling at a Brooklyn Bowl. But yeah, Questlove, I missed your performance that night. I'm sorry.
but please come back and perform
come
again.
Back and hopefully, yeah.
I love it. Oh, craziest thing you've ever seen in New York?
Ugh. I think there was one train ride where I was just getting to Queensboro Plaza. There had already been like one of like the Showtime or dancer people on the train. And then at the same time, a guy came on with like wearing a snake. And I was like, This is already too much. And then everyone on the train sort of like looks over because we start smelling smoke, and someone had lit a fire. Like he had lit like a newspaper on fire. So I'm there with like this performer, a man with a snake, and a guy lighting something on fire, and we evacuated our train car. But I was like, this is just so New York. This is the most New York thing that could happen, and I'm gonna just walk home from here because I'm done.
Wow, I think that wins that answer. Yeah, that's so much at one time.
It's so much. Like any one of those things would have been like classic New York, but all three, I was like, this is too much.
Oh gosh. What if the snake was like, you know, agitated by the fire and then there's so many questions.
There's so many things. And I feel like I've seen a man with a snake several times in New York. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Never,
like,
on a subway.
Never on a subway. Yeah, I've definitely seen it, definitely more on the street, but that time on the subway.
So for people who don't know what Showtime is, explain that.
Oh, they're the group of kids that get on the subway and they're like, Showtime, Showtime. And then they're usually like doing these moves and they usually do tricks on like the poles and everything. But it's always at the most inconvenient time because it's like not quite rush hour, but sort of is. Like it's still on the cusp of rush hour and the train is like slightly crowded and they're, you know, doing it for money and everything. But I'm always like, I just don't want to get smacked in the face. Just don't kick me in the face.
I know. It's so true. So I think the first time you see it, it's like really exciting.
Sure.
Yes. But then once you've seen the same, unfortunately, they're very similar routines. Yes. The same time over and over again with different people. So I think I am so with you there. It's just like sometimes you need to like do something on your phone and you need to like focus.
I just need to do the New York Times crossword. I need to get through this.
And they're answer. Like, they're waiting for your fist pump. And it's just like, it's just hard.
And I feel like that's with like a lot of the performers too. Like even like the mariachi band, like the first time you see, you're like, oh, cool. It's the mariachi band. And then your like seventh commute where you're seeing them, you're like, I'm so tired. I have not slept.
Yep.
There's one performer that when I had this specific route for a long time, I had always seen him and I had sort of like an off schedule and I was like, oh, this guy, he's the one who sings opera. And they're like, none of my other friends had ever seen him. And I was like, I feel like I'm the only one. I feel like he's following me because he was on every train I had been on and this one commute going back and forth from work.
That's so funny. Oh my gosh. So many things. Do you have anything that you wish was different about New York City?
That I wish was different. I wish that there's a lot to be said about our subway system. But I do wish that there was a better system, especially for the outer boroughs and certain communities, to have better access to public transportation. Because there are so many neighborhoods that don't, or that there are buses, but they're not super well run or thought out, the routes and everything. And I think that that would help so many neighborhoods in getting just getting people to work, getting people like taking that sort of pressure off those neighborhoods. And even just getting, like, for me to get from Astoria to Williamsburg is insane. I either have to like go into Manhattan, but even deeper parts of Brooklyn and Queens, where areas that really could use better public transportation, I wish that that was more thought out and that we were doing something more to help.
Yeah. I almost always take a Lyft to Astoria because it's just the easiest, fastest way.
Right. And that's crazy to me.
It's unfortunate.
Because,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Like if I owned a car, it would definitely be the fastest way, or like taking a Lyft. But that certainly adds up. And it's literally so close that it's crazy. Yes. I have to go into Manhattan most times in order to go to Brooklyn. But even like the deeper parts of areas that, you know, really could use faster and more efficient ways to get into different parts of the city. I just wish that we thought more about our public transport, not just that like, oh, the signals aren't working again, but that it really needs a huge, robust overhaul of the entire thing.
That's a really good answer. I appreciate that. Yes. So do you have a dream New York City apartment?
Oh, yes.
That face, you know what it looks like.
Okay. I want... my favorite movie of all time is You've Got Mail, which in and of itself is a love letter to New York. Nora Ephron has even said that it's a love letter specifically to the Upper West Side. And there's all these beautiful clues to that throughout the movie. But Kathleen Kelly's apartment, but I would update it slightly, like a more modern kitchen, maybe like a washer dryer in unit. That's asking for a lot.
Ask
for everything and an outdoor space. But her apartment... updated kitchen, outdoor space, dishwasher, washer, dryer. The whole thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
No, you say things fast because we live here.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've got to get it out.
Yes.
I've got to make my train.
Oh my gosh. And you don't have an accent. I think a lot of people ask, like, you don't have a New York City accent?
No.
Did people say that to you?
Yeah. People think I'm from Ohio because I have more of a, and I don't know if that's part of like my acting training, but even from Long Island, I have a very neutral accent comparatively. My parents were born in Queens. They definitely have thicker accents than I do, especially my dad. No, I don't have an accent.
So your parents were both born here.
Yes.
And tell me more about how they came to New York.
Yeah. So both my parents were born in Queens. And then I'm completely Irish on both sides. And so all of my ancestors, grandparents, great-grandparents came from Ireland in different waves. So I had some family that came over in the 1800s, some came in like the 1910s, 20s, and then some that came over in the 1950s. So all very different experiences coming to New York for the first time. Like I had family that lived in like tenement housing. I had family that came over in the 50s when New York was very different than the tenement times. They came straight to like a home in Queens and everything. I've always had that history of New York and those stories just sort of in me from the beginning, which awesome. Is nice.
Yeah. Did they come through Ellis Island?
You know, I don't know. I'm sure I know like their story much better, and that was post Ellis Island.
Okay.
The other side, I'm not 100% sure if they came through Ellis Island or the other port that I can't think of the name of.
No worries. Yeah. I did that once, visited with my family, and we like looked up the name of the person who went through Ellis Island. So cool.
It's very cool. Yeah. It's incredible. If you know that your family is from there, you should definitely check that out, because it's really unbelievable to see that. And that's a very cool area down there.
So much history. Yeah. I love it. And then, so what is the future for you? Like where do you want to be in like 50 years?
Ooh, 50 years?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I hope in 50 years I'm like that quirky New Yorker that, you know, that everybody like sort of knows. They're like, oh yeah, Mary, she's a staple of New York. Like, I would love to be that person. I hope that one day.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
And you'll be in that beautiful apartment and everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so great.
Yeah.
Any last words of encouragement for people who are looking to move here and make that final leap?
Come. I think whether you're looking to move here or just visit, I think that anybody who comes to New York, you're immediately a part of it, right? You leave your imprint on New York and it leaves its imprint on you. And I think it's really important. You become part of this vibrant pulse of the city. And it's really, it's hard to describe without being here and breathing the air. Or beautiful air, and just being a part of the people and walking around. I love the city so much, and I'm so happy to live here.
Oh, thank you so much. And where do people find you to follow you?
You can follow me at Not Engaged on Instagram. You can also follow me at Hey, It's Mary MC for McCarthy. It's less exciting than Not Engaged, but, you know, you could follow me there.
Those
are the two places. Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. For more NYC resources like ebooks and videos, visit nyclocalguides.com.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.